we thank you that you made us for more. God, we thank you that your presence is here and that you have gone before us and that you're going to continue to move in our lives. We just thank you and praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Good evening. Welcome to First Wednesday. Woo! So my name is Wendy, and in case you didn't know that, I lead the academy here and do a bunch of other things because I love Jesus. Just kidding. That's not why, but that is why. So I just think the Lord is so good in how he puts things in motion before we are even understanding what he's doing, right? So sometimes things in life don't go the way that we expected them to. And sometimes they don't go the way we dreamed that they would. I don't know about you guys, but I've faced some trials in my life, right? Anybody else face some trials and things not go their way? Yeah, right? But for me, like, I love it when I get my way and when things go the way that I think they should. But newsflash, I'm not God, right? And when the battle is raging, I often get discouraged when I try to hold on to my picture of how things should go and what they should look like. So I'm just going to share a little bit about my testimony over the past 7 years. And then I'm not completely out of trials because I'm human and I don't believe that we'll escape trials until we're with the Lord in heaven, right? Because we're human. But I feel like I've learned some things and that the Lord wants me to share those things with you guys tonight. So bear with me. I'm a little nervous because it's been a while since I've done this. But let me just pray and then we'll get started. So Father, I thank you that you've chosen me to speak tonight. And I ask that you would just give me clarity. Help me speak with clarity. Help me to say the things that you would have me say and not the things that my flesh wants to say. And I just thank you and give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm calling this sermon tonight or this message or whatever you want to call it, Fighting for Hope. Who needs a little hope in the house? Right? Right? We all need a little hope. So about 7 years ago, we lived in California and a lot of things happened. We lived in the town where the nation's largest dam existed, and we had a period of 10 minutes to evacuate our city before it supposedly was going to collapse. So let me tell you, adrenaline was high, and we got out of town. Immediately, like that summer, we had fires in our community, okay? And then the next year, my husband and I were pastoring a four-square church, and we were working full-time and raising a family and pastoring, and we just couldn't do it all. And so we felt the Lord say it was time to step aside. And so we stepped aside, and so our girls lost everything that they knew in their little lives, you know? And so they became a little hopeless. From that fall, we lived through the Camp Fire, which is the deadliest modern fire in California history. We ourselves had to evacuate because of the topography. It was coming toward our house. Thank God our house was fine. We survived, but we, for weeks and weeks and weeks, breathed in ash and smoke. And so evacuations were just the normal thing, right? It's what we did month after month in California. After that, in January, so leading up to January of 2020, I had been having dreams that I would find my dad dead. And I was like, no, like, Lord, that's not you, because that's not what my heart wanted, right? I didn't want my dad to die. He was young. He was only 75, I think, 74, I don't know. But my flesh, my expectations were that that was just the pizza I had for dinner. I wasn't going to do anything. And then January 6th of 2020, I got a call from my mom, who has Alzheimer's, and said, Wendy, like, I can't get your dad to respond. And so I went over there and found my dad dead. Even though we did CPR and all the things, like, my disobedience to listening to the Lord and acknowledging that that was from him led to a little bit of hopelessness that added to extra pain on top of grief. So remember that. That night, we realized how bad my mom was. Like, my dad protected us and hid us from the reality of how far the disease had taken my mom. And so we were in for a ride for the next 18 months. I was a partial caregiver. My eldest sister had just retired early. Like, God totally set that up. She and her husband moved in, but we lived on what we call the compound. And so my backyard was connected to my sister's backyard, which was connected to my parents' house. And so we had gates that connected all of our homes together. So my mom was with us all the time. I was over there to run interference because she and my sister did not have a good relationship. And my mom was in the stage of Alzheimer's that was the most aggressive stage. And that was very difficult. So we went from dam breaking to fires to dad dying to Alzheimer's. And then 18 months later, it got to the point where we had to place my mom in care. Well, this whole time, God had been speaking to my husband and I about moving to Tennessee. And so, like, he had this thing happening in the background, and we were getting ready to transition over here, which was a miracle in itself. I was going to school full-time and working full-time because I was getting my teaching credential. And I went from being highly respected and highly valued and speaking into people's lives to not being respected and being worked to the core and being run ragged and just being exhausted. And when we moved here, I was not able to give my all to everybody, right? So I started to lose a little bit of hope in this time. Also, while we were here, our daughter started dealing with self-harm and mental illness. And so that wasn't something that we expected or ever wanted to walk through. But if you guys are walking through that, I would love to walk through that with you, because there's hope on the other end, and there's hope in the midst of it, right? And so through all these hard things, I felt like I was standing in the ocean, and like I would fall over, and I would finally get back up because I was hanging on to the hem of Jesus's garment, barely, right? But God is good. And so I would get back up, and then I felt this wave knock me back over, and I would reach for his hem again, and I found it, right? Because Jesus is the only way to get through the trials of life, okay? So throughout all of these times, all of these situations, I had to make the decision, okay, to fight for hope. Hope is an action. It's a verb. It's not a passive thing. We have to fight for it. And we can't make agreements with discouragement. Those are lies from the enemy. Oh, it'll never get better. That's a lie, right? Oh, you have done everything you can for your daughter. She's a lost cause. Lie! That's a lie from the pit of hell. Every single one of us has to figure out who Jesus is to us. And some of us have to go through it the hard way before we decide that Jesus is real and that he exists and that he died on the cross for our sins, for my sin, right? Do I want that as a mom for my daughter? Heck no. But God is good and he is faithful, okay? And he promises us, like Jesus said in John 16:33, that here on earth we're going to have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Well, what does take heart mean? I looked for different comparison versions, and most, all of them said take heart. So I had to look it up because I thought I knew, but English is weird. And it means to begin to feel better and more hopeful. So Jesus commanded us to move. He commanded us to take heart. He didn't say, I'm going to throw it at you. I'm going to throw hope at you. He said, you have to grab onto it, right? Well, what is hope? Hope means to expect with confidence or trust. Well, who are we trusting? We're trusting Jesus. We're trusting God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and who is to come, right? And we're expecting fulfillment, right? It's to cherish a desire with anticipation. So not only are we expecting something, but we're anticipating that fulfillment of the good thing that Jesus has promised us. And we want something to happen or to be true. So why do we have to fight for hope? Well, Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, but we also glory in tribulation. We rejoice in trials, right? Knowing that trials produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. It's this like chain of events that takes place. And now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we find hope through persevering. Okay? So what is perseverance? I'm a teacher and I'm a nerd. I like what words mean, so bear with me. Okay? Perseverance is continued effort to do or achieve something despite, everybody say despite. Despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. So regardless of what is going on, you're going to keep moving forward. That's perseverance. You're not going backwards. Now, we're human, so sometimes you might get knocked down and it might throw you back a little bit, but you're going to pick yourself up through the power and the strength of Jesus Christ, and you're going to move forward, okay? So when I think of perseverance through opposition, I think of Joseph. Anybody here of the Old Testament Joseph? You guys recognize who he is? Well, you can find his story starting in Genesis 37. I'm not going to read it because it goes for chapters upon chapters, but it is encouraging. And so I'd encourage you to go and read through his story and the account of his life. But I want you to listen to some of his experiences because even in storms and trials, things aren't all bad, okay? And we have to remember that. So Joseph was born to an older dad. He had many brothers, but he was the favorite. He got a beautiful coat. He was a dreamer, and he told his brothers the dream, which caused them to hate him even more, okay? They put him in a pit and decided to sell him into slavery instead of killing him, which was God's hand in his life. Excuse me. Once he was in Egypt, which is where he landed after being sold, Joseph was bought by Potiphar, and Potiphar was like a top dog in the nation of Egypt. He was treated very well by Potiphar until Potiphar's wife decided to accuse Joseph of some inappropriate advances, if you get my drift. There's some kids in the room, so you know the R word. Okay, at which time he was then thrown into prison, but he was given favor in prison, okay? In prison, he interpreted dreams for the baker and the cupbearer, and he asks them to remember him when they got out. Pharaoh had dreams later on, and the cupbearer remembered Joseph. So Joseph was called to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And Joseph got it right because of the power of the Holy Spirit and God in him, right? God revealed that to him. So Joseph became number two in all of Egypt, which set things in place to save food for the famine. Joseph got married. He had babies during this time. And then his brothers came to get food. Okay, and when his brothers came to get food, Joseph had a chance to extend mercy, right, and be reunited with his family. So Joseph's whole life was shaped by suffering, but he never gave up. He always had hope, and he always trusted God. The Lord was with Joseph. Even in prison, God had given Joseph favor. In Genesis 39, 21 through 23, this is the New King James Version. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed Joseph's hand, to Joseph's hand, all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So even in the storm, Joseph was using his gifts regardless of the circumstance or the location that he found himself in. And we're called to do the same thing. We are, sorry, I need a drink of water. So we are called to persevere regardless of our situation. Because why? Perseverance leads to character, and character leads to hope. So hope is a byproduct of persevering, not giving up, right? That's what persevering is. Boiling down to it, you don't give up. You keep going. You keep moving forward. And he didn't let the things stop him. He didn't let prison stop him from being a light to the people he was around, okay? So for me, I think of, like, I could not pray for people to be healed, because I've been diagnosed with Graves' disease and thyroid disorder, but God hasn't completely healed me yet. So I could just sit back and be like, nope, he doesn't heal me, so I can't pray for you. I can't believe with you. But that's just a lie from the pit of hell, right? Because I'm not God. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't see the big picture. But I can sure pray that somebody else would be healed, because I know that God is a God who heals. He is Jehovah Rapha, right? And that's not just for back then, but it's for today. And we have seen over and over and over examples of God coming through, okay? And when you pray for people, you are building up your own faith through what God is doing in you, right? Which is creating character within you, which leads to hope. So it helps you when you pray for other people to get some hope for yourself, because, you know, sometimes we need some hope for ourselves too, right? So sometimes when we go through trials, whatever it might be, fire, the dam breaking, daughter self-harming, fighting with the husband or wife, not my wife, your wife, man. sorry. Anyway. Oh, gosh. Drew's told worse. Okay, good. I'm good then. But sometimes it might feel like God is trying to harm us, right? But God is bigger than our feelings. And sometimes our feelings lie to us. And sometimes they're indicators of a deeper heart issue, right? But we have to go back to the word of God, because the word of God is truth, okay? And God's plan is not to harm us. It talks about that in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I have a hope and a future for you. My plans are not to harm you, but to prosper you, okay? And he uses all things for good. He doesn't want you to be in pain, but if he can use your pain to bless someone else and bring them to knowledge, to a saving knowledge in him, then he's going to do that, right? Because he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And sometimes the circumstances we go through, because of them, we are able to share good news with other people, right? Because that's what we need to be doing, because God is good. He's a good father, and he sent his son to die on the cross to make a way for us to have relationship with him. And the world needs to know that, right? And so he uses our pain, he uses our hurting to come, like, he'll comfort us in those things. And then, like 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. Okay, so nothing that we are going through is in vain unless we let it be. If we don't rise up, if we don't allow the Lord to heal our hearts, to break the chains off, to give us hope, because he's like offering hope to us, saying, here, take it, right? Are you going to? Am I going to? In Isaiah 61, it prophesies that Jesus came to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We have to exchange truth for lie. We have to exchange a garment of praise. That means we are worshiping, we are praising the Lord with our mouth, being vocal out loud. Sometimes we need to shout. Like, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to us because we have Jesus in our lives. And if we just sit back passively because we're hurting, and I'm talking to myself because I'm a hurting person too, but I'm grabbing on to the hem of the Lord's garment. And it's in that the healing comes. It's in the presence of Jesus that healing comes, right? But in the end, we have a choice. We have a choice to sit in the mud and feel sorry for ourselves because we didn't get XYZ, or we had to walk through XYZ and we're just tired anymore, or tired now, right? Because sometimes when you're being hit with hit after hit after hit after hit, and you're trying to do life in your own strength, you're going to be exhausted, right? But when you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you and to fill you and to help you walk through the crud, then you're going to have the strength and the peace that you need, okay? And I've been on both sides. Like, I have walked through some attacks from hell and been discouraged and exhausted, but then I've walked through some attacks from hell and have had peace in the midst of a storm. And so I'm here today to tell you, to encourage you and myself, that we have to take Jesus up on his offer, okay? We have to give him the discouragement and the hopelessness, because those aren't fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Those are the way that God wants us to be walking and living in, the things that he wants us to live in. But we have to exchange the rubbish, right, for the truth, for that garment of praise, for the hope, for the character, right, the godly character. And then, once we have done that, we can help others find hope in Jesus as well, right? Because that's the Great Commission. Go, therefore, you know, go out to the nations, baptize them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Go to the ends of the earth and share what I've done for people. That's Wendy's paraphrase version. But we have to remember that God is good. Okay? He never disappoints. When our expectations fail us, God's love and comfort remain steadfast. Okay? When we trust in him to lead us, we'll find peace and find joy, and then we'll overflow with the confident hope. Why? Why does it work that way? Why do we have to follow him in order to get to the hope? Well, Because Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says that my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Just like a parent, so I'm a mom, and I can see things in the future that my daughters can't, right? They want to go hang out with certain friends. Well, these certain friends aren't good. They don't love Jesus. So I'm not going to let them go make bad choices with these friends, but they can't see that because they can only see what's in front of them, right? That's an earthly picture of our Heavenly Father, because He can see the big picture. He created it, right? So He sees things that we can't see, and He can dream things for us that we haven't even thought of yet. And so, like, during the prayer and fasting, when I read that verse, like, I was challenged to dream big, to connect with the Lord, replace my hopelessness and discouragement with hope and excitement and anticipation for the future, right? Because He's a good Father, and He wants to give good gifts to His children. But we have the choice to receive them or to be like, no, Sarah can have that one today, because I'm just discouraged because I didn't get that new car I wanted, right? Or I didn't really want a new car, but we make excuses for why we don't step into the things that God has for us. But what I believe He's saying today is that we need to step in and step up and allow Him to move through us, to move in us, to set us free, okay? People aren't going to want relationship with Jesus if we're like walking around all depressed and in a funk. And I'm speaking to myself too, because when life gets hard, it gets hard. But we need to grab onto the hem of His garment, and we need to be in community with Jesus-loving people. Because why? Iron sharpens iron. And if somebody's feeling in a funk, that's okay, because we're human and God made our emotions, but we can't stay there, right? We have to continue to move forward. We have to continue to persevere. We have to process what's happening and move beyond it. Romans 15, 13 says, I pray that the source of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Who is the source of hope? It's Jesus. Jesus is the source of hope. And when we trust in Him, you will overflow with the confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. At one of the prayer nights, we were praying in groups, and I got this picture. I used to teach science, and so chemical reactions are really cool to me. And I got this picture of us being baking soda, okay? Baking soda just sits there, and it's a powder, but it gets all over the place, right? And then I saw this, like, I don't know if it was a cup or a jar, I don't know, some container with vinegar in it, and it was poured into the baking soda. And the moment those two pieces connected, the baking soda and vinegar, it exploded and it started to bubble because there's a chemical reaction between those two, vinegar and baking soda. And what I felt the Lord was saying was, like, baking soda is all good and fine on its own, but without the vinegar, it's not going to have power. Okay, it becomes to be hot and it bubbles. So these are like these are visible observations that you can see. Go home and mix baking soda and vinegar and see what I'm talking about. Feel it, smell it, touch it, hear it. It pops, right? So we humans walking around in our hopelessness and our discouragement, not stepping into the things of God because we don't have His power within us. Right? We're not holding on to the hem of His garment. We're not allowing Him to heal our brokenness. You can hold on to him and still be broken because you haven't received his healing. Okay? So today is the day for you to fight for hope, for me to fight for hope. We have to put action to our faith. Okay? So if you need hope today, if you need people to contend with you, to fight with you, come to the altar. Come to the front right now. Like, we're going to pray. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, because he doesn't want us to remain the same. Right? Every time we spend time in his presence, we're going to walk away changed, not the same. For a couple minutes, and we're going to pray. We're going to spend some time in the Lord, in the Lord's presence.
When I feel the fear come, I won't run away, even in valleys. Presence is enough when I feel the shaking. I will stand my ground. Your presence is enough. You are with me. Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong with Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. When I feel the pressure, oh, I won't run away, even in tension. Your presence is enough when I'm in the mystery. Oh, I will stand my ground. My God, you are enough, 'cause you are with me. Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. 'Cause you are with me. Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone. I'm never abandoned. Oh, fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. When the rain fell, when the floods came, when the wind blew, I was okay. You were right there, you were in every step I take. When the night falls, when my heart aches, if I stumble, I will not break. You'll be right there, you're in every step I take. When the rain fell, when the floods came, when the wind blew, I was okay. You were right there in every step I take. When the night falls, when my heart aches, if I stumble, I will not break. You'll be right there in every step I take. You're my shepherd, you're my keeper, my provider, my protector. You surround me, you're every step I take. You're the goodness, you're the constant, you're my first love, my future. You surround me, you're in every step I take. As you are with me, Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone, I'm never abandoned. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. 'Cause you are with me, Father, you're for me. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. I'm never alone, I'm never abandoned. Fear will never conquer me, 'cause I belong to Jesus. As I've seen you move, you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You make a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move, you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. See you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. No, you never failed me yet. No, you've never failed, and you never will, Lord. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. No, you never failed me, Lord.
Will you sing that again? Everybody go ahead and stand.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. One more time. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. And you know
He will never fail. palm of his hand. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves and speak that over ourselves, right? So as you go through your day and your night and your week and your month and your year, speak the word of God over your lives. Stir up the lion inside of you, right? The Holy Spirit, and compare what he is telling you to his word, because he will never fail. He will not fail. That's out of his character. That's not who he is. You need hope, you go to him, right? You go directly to the source. So I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. If there are pieces of your heart where you don't trust him, say, Lord, help me trust you in these areas. God, I give this to you because I don't trust you and I'm going to need your help. Trusting you. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank you that you never fail us. God, I thank you that you are the source of hope that we need in our lives. God, I pray that you would fill us with joy and peace as we trust in you, and that we'll overflow with confident hope through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, help us to walk in hope, in peace, and in joy as we go through this place. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Thanks for coming out tonight, guys. Blessings upon you. I'm here if you need some hope throughout the week. Love you guys. If you have kids in JBQ, go get them.
I know who I am, 'cause I know.